WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with the aftermath of Idalia, which slammed into Florida's Gulf Coast as a Category 3 hurricane almost 24 hours ago.
It's just material stuff.
I know. It's just so our retirement, our own life.
It's material. We're going to rebuild.
23 years.
It's going to be fun.
Mother and daughter sizing up severe damage to their home in Horseshoe Beach. Idalia is a tropical storm now, barreling through the Carolinas on its way to the Atlantic after shredding buildings, submerging streets, knocking down trees and power lines. More than 113,000 customers have no electricity in the southeast right now. One person died in Georgia when he was hit by a tree. Overseas, officials in Johannesburg, South Africa, say at least 73 people have been killed in a fire that ripped through a building being used by homeless people. Some threw themselves out of windows to escape the flames. Search and rescue continues. An emergency official says,
"We are discouraging the residents around here to go back to the building because we don't know about the structural integrity of the building, so it might be very much dangerous for them to go back there."
At least seven victims were children, the youngest a one-year-old. No word yet on the cause of the fire. There are new questions about Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's fitness to serve after he froze up again in front of reporters in Kentucky.
Running for re-election in 2026.
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
The 81-year-old managed to collect his thoughts and finish the press conference. A spokesman says he suffered lightheadedness. He suffered a similar incident just weeks ago, and he was hospitalized after a fall earlier this year. A new study from Stanford University has found possible genetic links between Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. Professor Emmanuel Mignot.
I believe that it shows that the immune system is not only important to protect against infection, but also can be very important to protect ourselves against damaging things that happen in our brain.
He hopes it could lead to a way to prevent both in the near future. The Biden administration is asking for what could be the biggest change in federal drug policy in decades. The Department of Health and Human Services is recommending marijuana be reclassified as a lower-risk controlled substance, the same as anabolic steroids and ketamine. Right now, it's on the same level as heroin and LSD. Dow futures ahead 93. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, But it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Thursday, August 31st. Yes, it is. Last day of August. September is on the doorstep. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on social media, on the Civic Media app, and more. Glad to have you here in the state of Wisconsin Sense, where we unpack the news each morning. Here's a little bit of what's on tap this morning. We're going to start with, again, Wisconsin political notes and the ongoing effort to try to get Republican legislators to understand just how dire the child care crisis has become in the state. And it appears they may be have heard something about it. It's been mentioned a few times because yesterday Republicans revealed a new plan for child care, and it is woefully inadequate. Now, again, we have a party that has already proposed to address the labor shortage by putting more kids into the workforce. I mean, you can't get them out of the classroom and into bars serving liquor fast enough, right? So now, instead of using a record surplus to address the child care shortage, the proposal is to pack more kids into each classroom and reduce the age at which teenagers can watch younger children without supervision. So basically, the answer is put the kids into the coal mines, and the ones who are too young to swing a pickaxe, we'll put the child care center in the mines too. Something like that. We'll talk a bit more about the details coming up. In our second hour, we have Hometown Health. There is a lot of ugly pushback out there these days over notions like inclusivity, diversity, acceptance. But the reason the pushback is out there and why it's become so ugly is because something stronger is doing some pushing of its own. The right to be yourself. And sometimes people need some guidance in getting to where they think they belong as themselves versus what was assigned to them at birth. And that's where the topic of gender-affirming care comes in. And we'll talk to a family practice physician in Green Bay about the care that goes into gender-affirming care, which seems to be rubbing some people in such a wrong way. We'll also talk to Luke Mathers, and with his blessing, we have Brewers tickets yet again. Brewers are coming back home to American Family Field for games this weekend. Today and tomorrow, we will be giving away tickets to Sunday afternoon's game. At least that's the assignment that we're going to give to Aaron Zommers down in Madison at the Civic Media Control Center at the top of State Street near the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers, how are you?
I'm doing well, Pat.
I think that, in fairness, Luke did say now it's Labor Day weekend. You know, maybe people already have plans. They might not use the tickets. And Luke, to his credit, did say, you know, maybe you'd want to use the tickets. And I said, thank you, but I already have plans up here on Lake Wissota for the weekend. And didn't even think about you, Aaron. I just completely, goofed that one up. So if you want to use these tickets, tell all of our listeners right now, and they're all yours for Sunday.
I'm going to deny everyone the privilege to get them. No, I'm kidding. I'm good. I have some plans. So I'm going to go hang out with some friends, go camping.
Nice. Well, you got the weekend for it in terms of, I mean, you're not going to get a drop of rain. It's going to be warm. Well, some would say hot, but if you're camping, you know, you're not going to, you know, be chattering your teeth there in your sleeping bag. So I think that's going to work out well for you. And how did you like the super moon? You know, it was bright. Really, really bright.
Was it? I don't know. I went to bed early enough that I didn't really see it.
Oh, no. I meant on your way into work. You didn't see it there at all?
Yeah, I could. I guess it was
pretty bright. I suppose in the city, and the trees and the streetlights, you probably didn't notice it. But, oh, yeah, this morning still, it was super bright. And we had something happen, and I don't think it's a coincidence that there was a super bright full moon. We've never heard an owl in our backyard before. And right about the time we were getting set to go to bed, you know, we had the windows open, and we hear this hoo, hoo, hoo. I mean, it was just unmistakable. And we thought, well, this is wow. We've been here on the lake 28 years. We've never heard an owl. And the owl just continued to hoot, you know, from one of the trees in our backyard. And then it dawned on us. This year, we have had more little rabbits in our backyard than ever before. It's like there was a population explosion. Bunnies everywhere. And they're cute and everything. But, I mean, bunnies everywhere. And then it occurred to us, we're like, we haven't seen any bunnies in the backyard for a day or two.
That would be why the owl's there.
I think the owl was kind of hooting like, I'm so full. I can't possibly eat another. And, you know, or he was complaining like, oh, I am so full, but look how bright the moon is. I can hunt like crazy. Nobody can hide from me. So if I do see any bunnies out here today, I'll just be like, psst, you got a new neighbor. I'd lay low for a little while, you know.
Gotta wish him some luck.
It was a little bit of a wild kingdom thing that we've got going on here. So that was pretty cool. There's our moment of nature, our moment of up north nature for you. So we will get the full details of the forecast from Weatherology coming up. And then along the way, of course, you can always join us at 844-967-2789. You can call that number. You can text that number. We'll see that and read off your text. You can also watch us on Facebook, comment on the live video feed there, and we may put the comment up on screen as well. And one more reminder, we did do a back-to-school edition of our daily newsletter. You can get a look at it, even if you're not a subscriber, by going to upnorthnewswi.com and clicking on the story about our special back-to-school edition of our daily newsletter. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk about the Brewers wrapping up their series with the Cubs, and we'll unpack the news coming up next. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes.
This is a very happy coincidence as we wish a happy birthday to Van Morrison, who turns 78 years old today. And of course, Moondance is arguably the most classic of his many classics. Well, the Brewers had that 9-game winning streak, and then, the wheels kind of fell off the bus here in a couple of really close games to the Cubs, and losing them in heartbreaking fashion. We talked yesterday about how on Tuesday's game, the wind was blowing in, and despite some very hard-hit balls, the Brewers just could not get on the board. And then yesterday, in the finale of the three-game series, the Brewers were in a position to keep the game competitive. They'd been down 2-0. They came back and tied it 2-2. And then in the eighth inning, it started with a rare error at shortstop by Willy Adames. And then with runners on base, Cody Bellinger drove in the tie-breaking run for the Cubs with a ricochet right off the ankle of Brewers pitcher Yoel Piamps. It would have been an easy, had it not hit his ankle, it would have come to Adames. He would have thrown the runner out, and it still would have been a tie game heading into the ninth inning. But instead, it ricocheted off Piamps' ankle, went over to the third baseman, Andrew Monasterio, who just could not get the throw there in time for the speedy Bellinger. It allowed Mike Tauschman to score from third. It was the third hit of the game for the Cubs, but enough for them to beat the Brewers 3-2. And so now they come back to American Family Field for a three-game series with the Phillies, and we will have tickets to Sunday afternoon's game. We'll have two to give away later this hour and two more to give away tomorrow. We'll have a Brewers trivia question at about 6:50 for you to answer, so stick around for that. Let's see, I wanted to get to, temperature, 6 a.m. temperatures around the area here. It is 47 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. It is 46 in Madison. Waukesha coming in at 45. La Crosse, 51 degrees on their way to a high of 80. Wausau is at 47, and the forecast high there will be 76 degrees. Again, more from Weatherology coming up an hour from now. And I was going to start by talking about the new Republican plan for child care. I see Mark from the SAC is already locked and loaded and ready to go on this. So, Mark, do you want to share some of your thoughts on what's happening on the child care crisis issue in the Capitol before I get into details on the Republican plan? Good morning.
Well, I haven't heard the details of the Republican plan yet, but the clues I've been given, I think that it's probably reducing the age, of course, of kids being able to watch over kids. But it seems to me that these Republicans want to have it two ways. They want to have kids working in the workforce right away, but they don't want them exposed to any new ideas at all. They want to protect it. They want to isolate them from ideas, put them to work right away. And, in other states, they want to lower the age of consent. That getting to be ridiculous here. It's like in some ways they want to do away with childhood because get those kids as soon as they can into the workforce, like they did back in the old days where we actually established childhood for kids. I mean that kids were able to maintain some kind of childhood up until a little bit older age that we have in our modern society here. You just wonder what new evil they're going to hatch, day by day, because they do it nationally now with their national networks, and that it is just getting to be ridiculous. I mean, that we don't want to pay for taking care of the kids, and it is just
and just get them into the workforce, rather than
get them into the workforce.
Yeah, to do what we want to do with them rather than letting them learn about the world and then decide from there. So, I'll give the details from here, Mark. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
brother.
All right. So here's the deal. Republicans have been hearing for months and months from their own constituents, from their own Republican voting constituents, that there is a real issue here, a real shortage of child care. We have a worker shortage in Wisconsin, in part because a parent, quite often the mom, not always, but a parent has to stay home, has to leave a good job because there either isn't child care available or it's become so expensive that it is more cost effective for a parent to drop out of the workforce, which I know for some Republicans have talked a lot about. That's the way that it should always be in their mind, but that's not their decision to make. Regardless, they have heard that there's an issue here. They also know that the Biden administration, during the pandemic, to help essential workers stay on the job where they were so sorely needed, the pandemic relief packages that were out there included money to go to child care centers to help them stay open and to help parents afford child care. So again, that essential work could get done in this country, something you think Republicans would like and be in favor of. Well, that federal money is running out. Governor Evers is looking at a multi-billion dollar surplus and saying, hey, why don't we take some of this and start up our own child care assistance program, because that's tax money. Working parents pay their taxes. This could be one use for that tax money, is to keep child care affordable, keep more people in the workplace, have kids be at child care centers that are adequately staffed and safe with trained supervision. Republican legislators have heard all this. They know all of this. And yet they have decided instead to go in a couple of different directions here. One, instead of using your tax dollars for things like helping address the worker shortage and affordable child care, they want to use your tax dollars for more tax giveaways to the very rich. And then yesterday came the new Republican plan on child care. And you could almost predict it without me saying a word. It was based first on deregulation, which of course is just another way of saying remove certain protections for consumers, for employees, for the environment, for kids. And at the center of the Republican child care proposal is deregulation, things that would do things, for example, reduce or adjust the ratio of providers to kids and adjust the maximum group sizes in a child care center and in a classroom. In other words, more kids under each, you know, teacher or provider in each room. And another provision would reduce the age at which somebody in a child care center could watch kids alone. They would lower that age from 18 to 16. So 16-year-olds could independently supervise children alone. In other words, children watching children. Rather than take care of the adults, make sure they're trained in first aid and certified and competent, their deal is to warehouse kids, pack more of them in, and have them watched by increasingly younger and perhaps less well-trained providers. One of the blogs I like to read is one called Jake's Wisconsin Funhouse. And as he was looking at the proposal from State Senator Dewey Strobel of Cedarburg, he referred to it as the Megamart solution. That's essentially what they want to do, is create these Megamarts and warehouse the kids in there rather than actually providing assistance to the child care centers and to the parents. And as Governor Evers has noted originally and in calling for a special session next month, that if Republicans don't address the child care crisis, a recent report estimates that more than 2,000 providers might close their doors and go out of business. That would mean a loss of about 4,800 child care jobs, affecting 87,000 children. And how many of their parents will, again, need to either leave the labor force and exacerbate the worker shortage, or put their kids in supervision that isn't as safe, that isn't as educational. Now, of course, the Republican position is, you know, filled with hypocrisy about how, you know, we don't need child care plans that amount to a cash handout for businesses. Hello, Foxconn. If you're going to target a particular business or a business sector for aid, how about the one in your district? Because there are plenty of Republican districts that have a lot of child care centers that are struggling and would potentially close. But after Strobel talks about, you know, the cash handout to businesses, he writes, family situations vary, but is it right to ask everyone, including those who make financial trade-offs to be a one-income household, to subsidize the child care costs of middle and upper-income families? Oh, please. Are you trying to tell me that after proposing a tax plan that benefits the highest tax bracket, and now this week you rewrote the plan, you fixed it, you said, because now it only puts most of its relief in the second highest tax bracket, but you're going to tell me your position on child care is, oh, we can't be subsidizing the child care of upper income families? I mean, that's disingenuous is the nicest way to put it. And to take a shot at single parent families and families where, you know, only where both parents have to work by saying, you know, the financial trade-offs that some families make to be a one-income household. I mean, talk about holier than thou. I mean, what kind of a luxury is it these days for some families to even have the discussion that a parent gets to stay at home? It is almost entirely driven by dire financial straits. And yet Republicans love to frame this as a choice. And these same folks who say, well, you know, the nuclear family with, you know, dad working and mom staying at home is the best one. And yet if we provide any assistance to that family, we're now paying that parent to be lazy? We're paying these parents to sit at home on the couch? They can't keep having it both ways. And yet that's exactly what they keep trying to do, is not give you a serious child care plan and not give you a serious tax cut plan. They've simply warmed over the things that Governor Evers has already vetoed and have said, well, the governor is forcing us to come into a special session. No, that's your decision to come in or not come in. And either address the issue or not. So you still have time. You have about 3 weeks before the special session comes in. And perhaps take these next couple of weeks and listen more to your constituents. All right, we'll come back and talk more about Wisconsin headlines and much more. Brewers tickets in our next half hour as well. You're up north. A magic night. Can I just have one moment dance with you, my love?
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane-turned-tropical storm Idalia has cut a path of destruction across the southeast.
We can rebuild all of this. No one's hurt. Not right here. And it's just really sad, you know, but it is what it is, and we make the best of it, and we will.
Strong winds, high tides, and blinding rain making roads impassable from Florida to the Carolinas. At least one person was killed. At least 73 are dead in a fire in Johannesburg, South Africa, in a building used by homeless people.
As soon as we are done with our search and recovery operation, we will hand over this incident to the South African police service.
President Biden sending well wishes to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell after the 81-year-old froze up again in front of reporters.
Mitch is a friend, as you know, not a joke. I know people don't believe that case, but we have disagreements politically, but he's a good friend.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Well, we got the drums going for Gina Schock, drummer for the Go-Go's. She is 66 years old today. More birthdays and a history lesson coming up in just a bit. Up North News apparel is here, t-shirts and tote bags. Head over to the homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. Click store in the top banner and get yourself a t-shirt or two or three. Kristen Lyerly is where are you? Let's see, it doesn't appear to be Arizona. It does not appear to be northern Minnesota. Wait a minute. Are you in your own home for the first time like this summer?
I'm home and it feels so good.
Wow. How long are you there for?
About 18 hours.
Good job out of you. Remember when you used to like your family? My goodness. It's the summer of Kristen road trips continues here.
I do like my family. And after Labor Day weekend, which is a big weekend for me to work, I'm going to be home for over a week. Can't wait.
That's okay. Again, you got these boys who are independent and, you know, they're out from under mom's thumb. So I'm sure it's been a good time for them. So more
and
traveling.
One of them starts high school today.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he has suddenly discovered the magic of hygiene.
Now, wait. By hygiene, though, do you mean like what we would all normally do? Or do you mean like a lot of teenage boys, like 20, 25 minutes have gone by and you're like, get out of the shower.
I have one of those too. But no, he like suddenly he wants his hair cut and he wants to wear clean clothes. And it's a shower every day. And this is a new thing.
Well, I think you should embrace that. You should encourage that. It's, you know what? He's probably seen just enough of those Old Spice commercials now that he wants to be among the cool kids. We were showing the t-shirts off earlier before. You said you have a bubbler story, referencing our bubbler t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. So when we were off the air, we were talking about the Up North t-shirts, and there's this great bubbler t-shirt. And Aaron and I both have stories about how we went to college and used the word bubbler. So for me, because I went to Minnesota, I was a freshman at this like orientation dance and I didn't know anybody and I was super thirsty and I didn't want any punch. So I walked over to some of the supervisors, the upperclassmen, and I said, hey, do you guys know where the bubbler is?
And being from Minnesota, I can already tell you what the answer was.
They all just looked at each other and laughed at me. It was so humiliating.
What?
But now I go back and I'm like, where's your bubbler, you know, to drink from? Now I can own it.
I will tell you this much. Having come to this side of the river for all of my adult life, I use soda as often, as interchangeably as I do pop. Before I was like all pop until I moved over to Wisconsin. But I can tell you I've never used the word bubbler. And I probably never will because it's called a drinking fountain. A bubbler is what Lawrence Welk had to make the little bubbles, you know, before his show with the champagne music. At least that's what every Minnesota native will tell you, Aaron.
Yeah, and you know, being from Manitowoc, it's pretty close to Sheboygan and therefore Kohler, the home of the bubbler. So it makes sense that I call it that. I went to Lawrence University, which is in Wisconsin, in Appleton. Mm-hmm. So at least people knew what I was talking about when I said that. And I wasn't so out of the loop as to know that it really is a drinking fountain and that that's okay to call it that. However, if somebody from out of state called it a water fountain, I was like, uh-uh. No, a water fountain is what's in the middle of the park that you
throw
tell
coins
your kids not
that.
To go in.
Yes, exactly. So we've got our definitions down. But poor Kristen had to put up with this going to college at the University of Minnesota, where she's heading later today and faces a true dilemma because of me. I was the one that let her know that, yeah, you could go to the Gophers tailgate thing, you know, football game and everything, but just down the road, like 5 minutes, is the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. And who's playing at the State Fair tonight, Kristen?
It's Duran Duran.
Now you've got to choose your college buddies or the loves of your life. What are you going to do later today when you get out there?
I'm going to have to make a game time decision, Pat.
I see that. Yeah. I think you can do both. You know, the tailgate will be there. The concert, you know, neither one of them lasts 5 minutes. They both go on for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think you could be in for a very enjoyable kind of evening.
It could be
as
a
Aaron
life-changing
brings up
evening.
A little Duran Duran underneath here. And I half expected you were going to be in the, you know, like a Duran Duran concert t-shirt, but you're in your U of M cheering attire instead.
I'm ready to tailgate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. Who are the Gophers playing?
Nebraska. So it's okay. Hopefully will be a good game for the Gophers.
Speaking of Nebraska, though, did you see at the football stadium there last night, 92,000 people to see the Nebraska women's volleyball team play against Omaha so that they could set the record for the single largest crowd ever at a women's sports event. 92,000 people to see a volleyball match.
That's incredible.
That is amazing. And we've talked the last year and more about women's volleyball, and especially at the collegiate level, is just has really taken off. And look, I can make all the jokes that there's nothing better to do in Nebraska anyway, but still, if you're going to brave a crowd of 90,000, it's because you are entertained by that, you know, as much as a football game.
My college friends in Minnesota actually have season tickets to women's volleyball, mm-hmm. and we all know how great the Wisconsin volleyball team is.
Oh,
let's get
yes.
on board.
Oh,
let's do this.
Not just Wisconsin, like UW-Eau Claire up here. They were national champions a year ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is something that we'll be talking about much more as that sport continues to grow. So, you know, good on them for doing that. I should mention for folks that are saying, hey, it's Thursday, where's Joe Zepecki? The same place where Melissa Baldoff was yesterday. The two of them are a thing, you might know. And they are on a little family trip this week. They will both be back next week. So it was nice of Kristen to come in and pinch hit. And in fact, I don't know if Aaron might have stepped out of the control room here, but he was talking to somebody about you. And somebody was saying, oh, yeah, Kristen, she's on, you know, once a week with Kristen Bryan on As Goes Wisconsin. And I think once a week with Up North News. And Aaron, what was your bigger smart alecky response? Like, oh, no, it's not just once a week.
It's not once a week. It's basically as often as she wants to. And she's more than welcome.
Yes, it's pretty much on demand. Like if a little little slot opens on the video monitor, we're like, oh, Kristen's got something to say. All right.
Whenever you open that door, Pat, I just walk right through it.
I know. Well, I'll tell you the other thing, and I haven't talked to Kristen Bry about this, but I'm going to be in a few weeks here. I'm going to be taking off for a week to visit with family and doing a little road trip. And I thought, boy, would it be great if for one of those days, you know, Kristen Lyerly and Kristen Bry could just take over the show for a day. And then I remembered that week is pretty much Kristen Bry's due date, as she's now entering what I'm sure feels like her 14th month of pregnancy at this point. And I thought that might be a little risky. I mean, look, we all like a little bit of drama on local radio, but I'm not sure that a live childbirth would necessarily be the way to go for morning radio.
But it would probably be more entertaining than the medical emergencies that we're seeing now on live TV with Mitch McConnell.
Oh my gosh. Look, I am not a Mitch McConnell fan. I get that. And there's been many times I've said some very nasty things about him, you know, like stealing the Supreme Court seat and all that. Mm-hmm. But from the standpoint of basic human decency, I don't take any joy in watching him again yesterday completely freeze up for a good 30 seconds on camera. People coming up to him, Senator, are you okay? Senator, do you want to go for a walk? And it's just so wrong. And look, I have said previously, I hope that when I get to be of a certain age, that if people that love me and respect me come up and say, Pat, it's time, that I don't go, oh no, I am completely irreplaceable. I must stay here. And I think the same has to be said for both Mitch McConnell and Dianne Feinstein from California. Mm-hmm. Both of them need to know when to start singing Happy Trails, you know?
Yeah. It's scary. And you have to wonder if that's happening when he's on TV in front of the camera, what's mm-hmm. happening in the rest of his life?
Yeah. I mean, Aaron, you have to watch this as a younger person and just wonder who's in charge, you know?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing can be terrifying. And I'm sure, yeah, it really sucks to have to do that, to admit you can't do something. And mm-hmm. not everybody has to deal with that younger if they don't have like a disability or some kind of mental illness or something. But eventually, sometimes you just have to say, all right, I can let someone else take this responsibility now.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd like to know that. I'd like to think that I'll know to do that. There's never a guarantee. But boy, when it happens on national TV a couple of different times, you'd like to think that something's going to be said there. And look, I get that maybe he thinks he's the only one that can keep that group together because he's looking over at the House of Representatives mm-hmm. and Kevin McCarthy, who cannot keep that circus, you know, inside the tent. And maybe he wonders if the same thing would happen in the Senate. But at some point, you look at that circus and you go, you know, it's time for me to say, not my circus, not my monkeys. It's time for something else.
Well, no matter what your leadership position is, whether you are the leader of the Senate or the leader in your local community group, you always have to be thinking about who comes behind you and what kind of a group of leaders are you cultivating to form the future of the organization that you're leading. You know, it could be your school board. It could be your assembly seat. It doesn't matter. It's all about your community. It's all about your people. So for somebody to hang on so desperately because they don't think that there's somebody else there in the wings, there definitely is. You just have to find that person and make sure that they're ready when the time comes.
And, you know, ready or not, you have to have not just that faith in them and in, you know, whatever system you're leaving, but at some point you have to do that for yourself. is just to say, you know what, it is time for that. But before we leave politics entirely here, obviously in the last segment, I went on about the new, quote unquote, Republican plan, quote unquote, to address childcare, which I first saw in comments from one of your assembly reps over there, John Mocco, saying that, you know, some big ideas for childcare were coming soon. And I put up online at the time saying, I don't think these are going to be big ideas. I think they're going to be the same warmed over ideas. And I guess it even was worse than I thought in terms of saying, well, let's just stuff more kids in each room and let's let more teenagers watch more children unsupervised. It's just an absolutely unserious effort. And it's a way of saying, you know what, we're gerrymandered, we're in the majority, and we don't want to help anybody except the very rich. So, you know, they have no problem sending this big middle finger to parents and child care providers statewide.
Hey, I would love to see them sitting together in a room as they're coming up with these ideas. Like, we've got to put something out there and we've got to use all of the Republican talking points. So how can we talk about less government, but also talk about more regulation and sell it to our people? And they accomplished that, I think, with this plan.
Oh, yeah. It's a bingo card. You know, they just have to check all of the boxes. Kind of like yesterday, for folks that missed it, I was talking about how State Senator Van Wongard wants to change the regulation for roadside zoos because one uses and, you know, gets their accreditation from a place that's pretty responsible. But there's this bill that says, well, if they get their accreditation from this other group, you know, that's okay too, even though that group has a much lower record in terms of standards and things. And here's Van Wongard giving the Republican talking point of, well, we just want to see parity and less regulation. We don't need, you know, two separate standards. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. If you have two different standards from accreditation and one of them is Fred's Zoo Licensing Emporium, yeah, you do treat that one differently. But again, it doesn't match the conservative talking point of cutting red tape rather than actually serving anything from animals to small children. Or sometimes I get the two confused, but regardless, it's on.
Spoken like a grandfather.
It's on our elected officials to actually try to address the real life problems that we have here. So anyway, that was the latest thing on the child care. And we've heard their new plan on the income, sales, not income, tax cut. That's what I was trying to say. Their new tax cut plan, which is a warmed over version of that as well. So I think we maybe for a minute and a half had some expectations for a fall legislative session. But now I think because we're being disappointed on childcare, we're being disappointed on tax cuts. I think the only thing we can hang our hats on now is, you know, that maybe there will be a Brewers stadium deal. But even then, because that really should happen this fall, but I don't know that it will. So, all right, well, there's our little look at the legislature coming up ahead of the fall session. We're going to do today's history lesson and music break coming up. Oh, and Brewers tickets. You can win Brewers tickets next. You're up north.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 78 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 57. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, and a bit warmer with a high of 85. Then on Saturday through the weekend, it's going to be sunny and hot with highs in the low to mid 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm a John girl.
You're a John girl? I'm a Paul guy? All right.
Look at how we make beautiful music together, Pat.
I know. At some point, we invite the listeners in to say, well, we're just talking about favorite Beatles. Hey, no, never mind to us. It was on this day in 1976 that George Harrison was found guilty of, quote, subconscious plagiarism for this song. Can you hear the plagiarism?
I can't remember which song it was.
The Chiffons. He's so fine.
Yeah.
He's so fine. No, it's not.
Subconscious plagiarism.
Subconscious plagiarism.
Or our musical influence, call it what you will.
Yes, or as we call it today, sampling. We're sampling. That's what we're doing. We're paying tribute. Anyway, so 1976, this day is when that happened. Hey, before we do anything else, I think we should get set to give away some Brewers tickets. This is always the point where we increase the degree of difficulty for Aaron to run this show, because not only is he going to be hitting some buttons to play some songs in a second, he's going to be taking your phone calls at 844-967-2789. Remember, you cannot have won anything in the calendar month of August. The tickets to Sunday's Brewers-Phillies game must be emailed to you.
Actually, you can have won in the calendar month of August, because this game takes place in September and we do it by the game. So it's basically reset, unless you've already won tickets for this weekend.
Well, there you go. Look at this. Everybody's in. It's an all skate. Here we go. First correct answer. 844-967-2789. Two tickets to Sunday afternoon's game at American Family Field. How many Milwaukee Brewers have won a league batting title for highest batting average? We've had a lot of great hitters over the years. There's Christian Yelich. There's Cecil Cooper, Ryan Braun, Robin Yount. I mean, the list goes on and on. Prince Fielder. How many Brewers have won a league batting title for highest average? I will say this much. It's probably not much of a hint, but you can fit it on one hand, the correct answer. But first correct answer, just give me the number. How many Brewers have won a league batting title at 844-967-2789, and you're going to win two tickets to Sunday's Brewers game. All right, let's see. One of my favorite albums came out this day in 1999 as the Chicks, formerly the Dixie Chicks, released their second major label album, Fly, with tracks like Ready to Run. I would still listen to this album top to bottom. Just good. And they've had some shows in the area here lately. Minnesota State Fair and Madison, right? I think they were recently.
I've seen a lot of friends who have gone to the Chick shows recently on Facebook. Fun yep. show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they were in Madison. I wanted to go, but I realized too late.
Yeah. Anyway, still just a favorite. Sad anniversary. This day in 1997 was when Diana, Princess of Wales, and her partner and driver were killed in a car crash in Paris. We did birthdays already for Van Morrison, who is 78 years old today. Bob Welch is also 78, guitarist for Fleetwood Mac. And here's one you may not know, the name Glenn Tilbrook. I didn't know the name Glenn Tilbrook. I knew Squeeze was mm-hmm. one of those bands that I really like. I didn't know the lead singer's name. It's Glenn Tilbrook, and he is 66 years old today, born in 1957 in Woolwich, London, England. Here's another birthday, 53 years old. This one's going to knock you down, kids. 53 years old for Debbie Gibson, born in Brooklyn, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Had nice little teeny bopper songs like this one. And while we wait for her to come up, we'll mention that we already said that Gina Shook, the dancer for the Go-Go, or not dancer, drummer for the Go-Go's, is 66. And Tony DeFranco of the DeFranco family, he is 63 years old today. Debbie Gibson, one of those where you'd sing into your hairbrush, you know, in the mirror? Or...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She was actually really, I mean, she was accused of being very bubblegum, which she kind of is. But she wrote her songs. She performed her songs. She was actually really very accomplished for a young woman.
And then accomplished on Broadway as well, for either for a time or still is. I'm not sure.
Yeah, she's still around.
Yep.
She's still performing.
Before we get to the last song, I'm going to tell you again that the tickets are still available for the Brewers. First correct answer at 844-967-2789. How many Milwaukee Brewers have won a league batting title for highest batting average? And I'm also going to tell you, we're not going to carry this over into the next hour because this is a pretty easy answer. You just got to, basically, it's an answer one through five. And so if we don't give away the tickets here in the next few minutes, we will carry that over till tomorrow, and we'll make it four tickets that we're going to give away. On this day in 2004, Green Day released the title track of their new album, American Idiot. Which I have to tell you, running a talk show on a progressive radio station, it is way too tempting to use this as bumper music over and over and over again.
Especially,
it was a simpler time back then.
It's especially tempting for me because this album is one of the main reasons that I play the drums.
Is it really?
Yeah, I don't know. It's simple but effective drumming on most of the songs, and their previous album, Dookie, made me want to play bass, and this one made me want to play drums, and I love both.
I know that this weekend, we're not going to be on the air for it, but one of the eight music anniversaries this weekend is Kelly Clarkson winning American Idol. I would have thought you said Kelly Clarkson and, like, Since You've Been Gone or something was going to be what got you to play drums. I really saw you as more of a Kelly Clarkson drummer than a Green Day drummer, but...
I don't know if that's good or bad.
He's like, I know I can't swear on the radio, but can I give you an obscene gesture through the video here? I don't know.
I see you, Aaron, as more of an Alanis Morissette drummer.
Oh, there. That's a good way to split the difference there.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
There we go.
Kristen, you've got this. You know this.
Yes, I do.
Anyway, American Idiot was a single that was released 3 weeks before the album was issued. The song and the album were widely successful, highly acclaimed, each nominated for multiple Grammy Awards, and the album won the Grammy for Best Rock Album. All right, last time I'm going to mention this. First correct answer at 844-967-2789. How many Milwaukee Brewers have won a league batting title? And if we get an answer in the next 5 minutes or so, you'll win two tickets to Sunday afternoon's Brewers game against the Phillies. If not, we'll carry it over. We'll give away four tickets tomorrow. Kristen, you want to tell us quick? We had to pre-tape Hometown Health. That's coming up at 7:30. You want to give us a very quick idea of what it's about?
Yeah, we're going to talk with Dr. Melissa Hitty up here in Green Bay, who provides gender-affirming care. So she's going to talk about, who comes to see her and what that experience is like.
Yeah, all about, you know, being you and mm-hmm. being true to you, despite the pushback that's out there these days. Sometimes it's good to actually have the right to be yourself. So we're going to talk a bit more about that coming up in our next hour, right after a little break here. Wherever you're listening,
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. Ooh.